Good evening. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm your host, Sheila White, here with two fabulous guests. We think we're going to have some great stories. It's Rose Moore from R.C. Moore Vintage and Millinery in Hellertown, along with the infamous, the most amazing author, Bathsheba Monk. And they're both in shock saying, what? I'm infamous? Anyway, we're here to talk about Rose's book, I Want to Live Forever. And before we even roll into this incredible story, I wanted to have Rose and Bathsheba introduce themselves. Rose, tell us about yourself very quick.
Oh, my goodness. My husband and I own a vintage millinery shop in Hellertown called R.C. Moore Vintage and Millinery. And we make hats and headpieces, and we have vintage clothing from the 1800s to 1985. And crazy stuff, real crazy stuff. And we're eclectic people. We love people. And I don't know what else to say. I think that's it.
Well, for now, we'll dig into more as we talk more about your book. And Bathsheba, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I'm a novelist and a turned publisher about 4 years ago. I put on a memoir writing conference at Steel Stacks, and I realized that there were a lot of great stories out there. And I started to publish them, print on demand and ebook. And that's how, so I started off with like two properties, and now I have 30. 30 really fabulous stories, and Rose is just the latest.
Okay. And so when you did this memoir writing workshop through Steel Stacks, did you meet a lot of potential authors for your new properties? And
well, notably, I met Larry James Neff, who wrote Rigor, which is, it's been on sale now at the Industrial History Museum down the gift shop at Steel Stacks, about his time working in the steel. And it's the best book I ever read about somebody working in a mill. Mm. So he was like the star of that conference, I would say.
Mm. And it's so important to capture these stories because this is a living history. And sometimes that history, if it's not shared in a more meaningful way than just word of mouth, it has a potential to just be gone, lost forever.
Right. That's how I feel. I just recently, this is just a side story, I just recently picked up something that I wrote back in the 80s, and I realized, it was never published, but I realized how our sensibilities have changed so much, and just the fact that I had written this down was kind of a revelation, that our whole, you know, with smartphones and the, I mean, we didn't have smartphones and we didn't have the internet in the 80s. So it was an entirely different life. Everything was different pace. And so, yes, it's important to write these things down, sometimes as they're happening or while they're still fresh in your mind.
Yeah. And that's almost a good segue to get to Rose's passion. I mean, because your passion in holding on to these stories actually comes through the clothing.
Right.
And if one were to just walk into your store in Hellertown, the stories on every rack, I mean, you just want to peel through it. And so what's interesting is how you find these clothes.
Well, because we're entering our 11th year, my husband and I have a reputation for acquiring strange and eclectic things. So people call us, or we go to estate sales, or we go to auctions. And I always say my superhuman strength is that I remember the stories because they're bizarre and they're true. They happen. And they keep happening. They're still happening, which is going to be the next book. But I remember all of them. And I found myself telling the people who were buying something, like when somebody would choose a dress, I said, I remember the lady that sold this to me, and I have to tell you this story. Oh my gosh, it's so funny. Blah, 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 blah. And then I'd say this story, and they said, oh my gosh, thank you for telling me, and we'd laugh. And I thought to myself, well, I'm going to start putting them on Facebook. And so that's what I did, and then Bathsheba came in.
Ran right over to her store with a contract.
Well, perhaps our listeners might be interested in one of the stories.
Oh, which one?
I love the story of you and Clayton going into the house, the drag house.
Oh, the drag house. That was going to be torn down. So the wrecking ball was outside.
Wait, slow down. What is a drag house?
It was a theater for drag queens to perform. And
In the Lehigh Valley?
No, it wasn't. Oh. And I don't want to give all of it away because it's in the book, but I'll say that it was not around here. Okay. And so we had to travel. So we went to this place, and the wrecking, it was closed off. It was closed up for quite a long time.
But how did you know this was going to get wrecked?
Because the wrecking ball was outside. I mean, they called us and said, somebody said that we bought things.
Reputation of buying right. weird things.
Right. So they said, well, perhaps you'd like to come up and you have like just a 45 minutes to go through, you know, and get what you want because we, you know, and the crew waited outside and we had to, you know, run through. My husband was, he had boas around his neck and hats on and I had popping a bag and I'm sticking stuff in. We ran from room to room. We're going crazy. We're throwing stuff out the windows and it was crazy. It was crazy, but we did it and we had fun and, you know.
It's almost like a reverse archaeological dig, you know, before it's raised into the ground mm-hmm. and you have to do some kind of dusting of dinosaurs.
Right.
You want to get in there before. Right.
And yeah. I thought, you know, when we left, I thought, oh, I wonder if I should have taken this. I wonder if I should, you know, because you can't take you can't save every little slip of paper and every little bead and every little, there's no possible way. I mean, if you saw my warehouse, it's horrible. I mean, people would think I'm a hoarder, but I'm not. I use everything that's there. But, you know, I hate to see things be wasted. Mm. And, so I wish that other people could have gone after me and maybe, you know, taken things that they could have done something with.
Well, and in this day of downsizing and Marie Kondoizing mm-hmm. and you know, just minimizing, mm-hmm. It just seems that to revere and respect this archive mm-hmm. of personal statement, mm-hmm. It's almost museum work.
Right, right. It is. Yeah. I'm in my shop. I feel like I'm there with a lot of people from way back in the day. I have dresses that are 110, 115 years old. And I always tell people, be careful with those old girls in the corner. Don't pull on them too hard. Treat them like little old ladies because they are, you know. And, you know, don't be rough with them, you know. And, yeah. But, you know, I often think, you know, sometimes I just sit in there and I think, wow, they've been... You know, they've seen a lot of people. They've been on a lot of backs, and I am honored to preserve it. And,
that's why the book is so great, I think, is because Rose is a storyteller. Everything she pulls out has a story to it. And you know, even in our own closets,
mm-hmm, right.
you know, there's a lot of things I don't get rid of. I still wear my father's ties.
Oh, yeah. 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 Absolutely.
So I can remember him. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's as if they're... All of these items have their own life and personality.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, sometimes I'll look in the closet and go, ugh, what do I feel like today? What do I feel like wearing? Mm-hmm. Who do I want to be?
That's right.
And so it's neat that you can go into this book and you can start being inspired by the stories you can even tell of your own clothes now. Mm-hmm. You know, what about these socks? Why do I still have these socks?
They're my lucky socks.
Your lucky socks. Don't ever wash them.
Oh, my God. You have just become my 16-year-old son. Okay. So with the book then, I mean, mm-hmm. Bathsheba, you told us about the memoirs. And mm-hmm. And how did you find out about Rose then?
You know, we were trying to think about that a couple of days ago, how we actually met. And I think I think it was Facebook.
Yeah.
I think
I liked her name. I thought that was so cool, Bathsheba Monk. I'm like, I want to know her.
And
she
I liked
a
her.
Stripper? Is she what? What is she? Oh, I want to know who she is.
Okay.
That's my secret life. But I liked your hair.
Oh, well, there you go.
And I said, who is that woman? And so I started following her, and then I just thought, I have to know her. And she's
yeah.
like right in Allentown. So we got together.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was when you started posting the stories, though, about the clothes on Facebook and Instagram. I said,
right.
wow, this mm-hmm. has to get captured because this is something that nobody's really talking about.
Right.
And it's sustainable, too. And that's like another thing that really attracted me to it is everybody, you know more about this, Rose, than I do, how much clothing everybody throws away
right.
each year. So it's like, wow, as much as we can recycle, mm-hmm. and that's the business to be in and look glamorous.
Mm. Right. And be an individual, you know, be yeah. different. So everybody likes to have their own sense of style. Even people who say, I don't care about style. I don't care about fashion. And I'm like, you still have to get up in the morning and choose a shirt to wear, whether it's a plain white shirt, a plaid shirt, or something flamboyant. You still have to choose something to wear. You have to wear something on your back. So whether you are very plain or very flamboyant, you have your own style. So everybody has their own unique personality, and that's the way it is.
When people come to your store, mm-hmm. they're looking for that unique item that they can't find online.
Right.
And there is, I'll share my own experience in meeting you. Right. I think you at that time had a boutique store on 4th Street in
right.
South Bethlehem.
Right.
And
you bought the red dress.
I bought the red dress. Yeah, the big scoopy red dress.
Yeah.
And it was because I had an event that I was the MC for the Lehigh Valley Music Awards mm-hmm. a couple of years ago. Great honor. Mm-hmm. Great pressure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was one of those things where I've got a, you know, frumpy mom bod. And, you know, I refuse to wear heels because I can't. My knees don't like it. And, you know, what do you do? How do you glam up for an award show that, you know? And so I thought, if anyone's going to figure this out, I haven't met her yet, but there's got to be something. And yeah, sure enough, you know, I sent her pictures on, you know, we were DMing, you know, on Facebook a lot. And I was showing her pictures of myself and like, okay, figure this out.
But you can't say frumpy mom bod in my shop because, you know, you can't put yourself down. Everybody is different and you have to embrace everything about yourself. I have been a size 8 and I've been a size 20. Yeah. I mean, and everything in between. So, and you have to embrace yourself where you are. I don't like where I am right now. I'm having a terrible time physically with my weight, and I have some medical issues, and you just have to work with it, and there's still a way to do it.
Well, and that's what I learned mm-hmm. from that moment on is, mm-hmm. you know, I'm proud of my frumpy mom bod. It is
there
not something that I say. It gave birth, man.
It did. That's right.
And so that was something very empowering mm-hmm. and also empowering about the way that dress made me feel, mm-hmm. you know, and so
a red dress, baby.
Well,
red.
And poofy,
and very poofy and big
yeah. with sneakers,
yes, Chucks,
yes.
Yeah, so you got it. And it was the Chucks, and it made a statement, and mm-hmm. and it was one of those statements that I felt empowered and confident, and I was out for a good time.
And they'll never forget her.
Well,
no, they never will.
Yeah. Well, so the challenge is, where do you find another event for that red dress?
You will.
Right. Well, anyway, I just want to remind the listeners that we are talking to Rose Moore and Bathsheba Monk. We're celebrating her new book called Rose's Book, I Want to Live Forever. You're listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY.
Thank you to all of WDIY's generous sustaining members. Setting up an automatic monthly gift on your credit card is the easiest way to support your listening and ensure WDIY remains a strong and thriving public resource. Become a sustaining member of WDIY today. Call 610-694-8100 extension 7 or visit wdiy.org. Thank you for your support.
And we're back talking to Rose Moore and Bathsheba Monk, talking about the new book, I Want to Live Forever. A story collection of vintage clothing. Do you have any stories about the millinery?
Not so much,
okay.
Because, you know, they're new. I mean, other than, you know, when I make them and there's a mistake and, you know, I yeah. curse up and down and run around and, you know, all that stuff. But that's not really a story.
But you do make hats for the Kentucky Derby.
I do, but, you know, it's, you know, when you're dealing with vintage things, you're dealing with a lot of memories, painful and happy, mm-hmm. of people that are parting with them. So it's a process that some people can part with them and some people cannot. We've left people's houses with nothing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So an estate sale where they thought they could sell it,
yes.
and it turns out they can't.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. Yeah. So it's a psychological process. It's just, you can't go in there all gung-ho and say, oh, we're going to get some great vintage today and ha, 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 where this woman has cancer. She lost her husband of cancer about a year ago, and then she lost her son of cancer 3 months ago, and now she has cancer, and she wants to get rid of these things. But, you know, when I gathered up all the things, and she was like, well, maybe I'll just keep this. Well, I think this still fits me. And, you know, and then pretty soon it was just the tears and, you know, and somebody that is losing everything can't lose and one more thing.
I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's not about selling the dress. It's not about buying the most beautiful vintage piece. It's about people.
Yeah.
And connections and memories. That's because that's what our lives are. Our memories.
And that's what stories are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So let's talk about the process of writing this book, because I mean, you're a very busy person running your own business, mm-hmm. constantly dealing with going to estate sales, fashion shows, people that come in, and you develop very close and personal relationship with every customer, mm-hmm. as well as every person that you go getting these clothes from. I don't know what mm-hmm. you call them. They're not suppliers.
No. So, yeah. They're just people.
They're just people. And you've been collecting these stories throughout your entire career. So how does that then go from just your daily banter to the written word? How did that process work?
Well, I told her.
Well, Rose, you did start writing them down on...
I did.
And that's where I started to see the potential for a real book, because right. a lot of people have interesting, fascinating lives, but they can't tell a story.
Right.
And clearly, Rose could tell a story. Mm. And so after I approached her, I said, take all those down, because we're going to use some of those in the book, and which you did mm-hmm. right away.
Oh, is that why I can't find them?
Right.
Just teasing.
She put them together in a She was like a knitter, you know what I mean? Like, I told a story, but she put them all together in a book.
Yeah.
To make it flow.
Did the editing. But right. the thing was that once Rose started to get, like, the feel of where we were going with it, I always spent a lot of time in your shop, and we were talking about everything, and it was fabulous. And she would tell me stories, and I would write them down sometimes.
Right.
And sometimes at 3 o'clock in the morning, I get another story. Look, I just remembered this one. And so...
I don't sleep well.
And then I think you went to see Style Crone out in
Denver. Yes, in Denver.
And she said, "Oh my God, I have this story," and it was a story of Ginger,
right?
That made it into the end of the book, and it was a made up story using her friends who were artists as models modeling the vintage clothes. So mm-hmm. the story is like fabulous. It's a noir.
My whole point was trying to show that the clothing made the personality of the people. You know, you could see their personality.
Right. So that was your first foray into fiction, I think. But I don't think we've seen the end of Rose's writing.
Oh, I don't know.
Good, because the stories are fabulous. Yeah. But you were talking about, apparently, Rose can tell a story. What makes a good storyteller?
Wow, that's, I think if I knew that, I'd be a rich person. I would write a book on how to be a good storyteller. But I think either you have it or you don't. Either you see the romance, or you can imagine what it is. I mean, I think Rose was probably one of these people that would go to New York and make up stories about people who were passing by, because that's what a storyteller does. They mm-hmm. just see, oh, she's this, she's had this tragic loss, and now she just lost an eyelash, and mm-hmm. and you just make up a story. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what I do when I write fiction, mm-hmm. and I saw that same thing in Rose. Mm-hmm. And all of our authors, actually, mm-hmm. In Blue Heron, that's what they do. I think every successful author does that. They can tell the story. They see the romance. They see the history. And they can see the inevitable end of something. And mm-hmm. that's another gift that Rose has, is perspicacity. You see how things end.
That's a total writer word right there.
Isn't it, though?
But is it ever the end? Is it the end? Because in the book, it's never the end. It's only a pause. It really is. It's never the end.
You're talking about the clothing. It's
about the clothing and our life, everything. I mean, is it the end? I mean, you get real philosophical about that. I don't know.
No, it lives on. It's true.
It's true. I don't think there's ever really an end to anything. Look at Rocky. Look at the Rocky movies.
It's true. that's another thing, though. When a lot of times, like in the shop, when I'm in Rose's shop, I always get this feeling like a lot of the stuff that we have today references, like modern fashion, really mm-hmm. references the past, and it all comes back. Like Rose mm-hmm. is wearing a pair of palazzo pants today. There were culottes back in the day, mm-hmm. So everything mm-hmm. comes back, and then maybe in a different reinvented way. Mm-hmm. But and even like jeans, mm-hmm. they all go back to like the gold rush, I guess, when mm-hmm. Levi Strauss mm-hmm. invented the jeans. So it's almost like having a history lesson in there. It's like all of these clothes, they have they went through a whole time, and now Rose repurposes them
right.
in one way or another.
And history has a lot to do with it, what was going on at the time.
And I remember, I remember I brought my daughter into the store after they had just done a run of It's a Wonderful Life in their high school play. And she brought a friend with her, and I mm-hmm. said, you guys are going to love this.
Yeah.
And they would not stop with their mouths open, agape, just walking through the store. Oh, my gosh, look at this.
Weren't you in the warehouse? You were in the warehouse.
Yes, we were in the warehouse.
Yeah, my husband and I dressed them in 1940s outfits.
Oh, no.
And we took black and white pictures of them. Yeah, they looked really nice.
Well, and that was the funnest thing, because not only were they playing dress up in mommy's clothing,
mm-hmm.
but you took them aside to say, and do you know why there was a seam? Mm-hmm. Or what they did when they didn't have the mm-hmm. real the hosiery.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just the whole time, again, the mouths gaping open mm-hmm. with new knowledge mm-hmm. that, you know, was just, they were soaking it in. And at that point, they both became fanatical and saying, we want to come here every weekend. Okay.
And buy clothes.
But unbeknownst to my husband, my daughter did come back with me another time, and she ended up finding her prom dress at 14 years old. And I said, but honey, you don't have a date.
Not important.
No, but I found my prom dress. So we bought it, and it's sitting in her closet.
Good.
And so I just said, so it's prom time for you. Are you going to go? I was like, nah. Is that you have the dress, you're going.
Yeah, go alone. Who cares?
Go with Dad. Well, yeah.
And you could do that these days.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
But she just glammed onto this, mm-hmm. The whole idea of all this vintage. And I got to say, it was a little daunting to see the 80s was vintage. I'm like, oh, God, you're killing me.
Vintage is just a period of time,
yeah.
You know. It's you know. But I love being vintage myself. I love it.
Yeah.
I love being as old as I am, because I get to tell the younger kids how it really was in the 70s, because they think we all walked around in hippie clothes and peace and love, you know, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we didn't. It wasn't that way.
Yeah. And I think also, since so many of the kids that my kids hang out with, they're very drawn to theater and mm-hmm. telling stories. And what I try to tell them, as you know, and I'm sorry, the reference here is I'm actually making a costume for their upcoming production of Peter Pan. It's you have to understand what functions some of these clothing pieces had
mm-hmm.
to understand part of your character. So, you know, as soon as they get the clothes on of that character, it helps them become that person now. So mm-hmm. it's also playing a role, if mm-hmm. you would. And so just like on Saturdays, we probably want to just hang out in our sweats, because our role is I want to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But we go mm-hmm. to the office. We go to outside. We go to the grocery store. You know, everything has a function mm-hmm. and a part of your character uh-huh. development,
mm-hmm. right.
which is essential in storytelling.
Yes.
There has to be a character here.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And a personality.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. That's why most storytellers start out with, she was wearing this. She
had,
you know, she had blonde hair and she was wearing a red dress or something. Mm-hmm. And right away that conjures up something in the character that you're mm-hmm. writing.
That's
and,
right. Absolutely.
Okay, so let's talk a bit more about Blue Heron Publishing. And this is the company that you started?
This is the company I started like 4 years ago.
Okay. And the Blue Heron, why?
Because I moved, when I moved back to this area a few years ago, I was taking a walk in the park, Cedar Beach Park. And I was, because I was moving from Boston, which is very, you know, I didn't see any nature up there very much, except in the commons or something. But anyway, I saw a blue heron for the first time in my life, and it was kind of like a talisman for me. It was like this magical bird that I always saw, and every time I went down to the park, I saw one. And so it just stuck with me, like this is what, I don't know, it was just my animal spirit or something. And oddly enough, like in the last couple of years, I've been getting like emails from people who feel the same way, and they said, you know, there's some kind of divine intervention. I had to write to you because I'm writing this book, and I saw the Blue Heron logo, and I know you're the person to do this. So there's some kind of connection. I don't know what it is.
So perhaps some of our listeners might be interested in checking out more of your publishing company?
Well, they might if they have stories.
Find out more?
BlueHeronBookWorks.com. That's our company. And they can see all of our authors, and they can see what we're doing. And if they have any ideas, you know, contact us.
How long did it take for you to pull this book together?
3 months? Was it 3 months?
September.
September.
Started September.
Okay, so 4 months?
Yeah, yeah. So
4 months.
And a lot of it was because you had these stories ready to go.
Perhaps. Well, I really worked. Well, they were all in my mind. I mean, you know, it wasn't hard to rattle them off and write them down because they were very vivid. You know, some of them are unbelievable. So, you know.
Well, that's great. Yeah. So if people want to meet you and perhaps get some more stories that aren't in the book,
right.
How do they do that?
Well, you can come to our shop at 1561 Main Street in Hellertown. We'll have the book there, or you can get it on Amazon.
Great. Amazon. Mm-hmm. Oh, now that's a bit. Are you going to do an audiobook version of this?
I don't know. Are we?
We're talking about it. Clayton and I are talking about it. Yeah. And you can also order it through other like indie bookstores like Moravian Bookstore or Barnes & Noble.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And Rose, you have a website as well?
rcmoorevintage.com.
That's incredible. So the book, again, for our listeners, is called I Wanna Live Forever. And the author actually signs it R.C. Moore, which is the name of the company, again.
Well, it's Rose and Clayton.
Rose and Clayton, yeah, you and your husband. Mm-hmm. And Bathsheba Monk, a publisher, an extraordinary editor for Blue Heron Books. I want to thank you both for coming on Lehigh Valley Art Salon tonight.
And thank you,
best
Sheila.
Wishes for the sales of this book.
Thank you.
I think our readers are going to really enjoy it.
Yeah, I think so, too. Thank you.
All right. So I want to thank the listeners for joining us tonight. This is Lehigh Valley Art Salon. I'm Sheila White.
Next up on Lehigh Valley Art Salon, At the Movies, a review of a current film with Paul Willistein of the Press.
Moviegoers like films with a twist ending.